Kayama Bez at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tana, Mepnesha Yachal Lomar Lo Shel Emorian. The Mishnah told us that if a person finds a lost item, like coins or something of that nature, inside of a wall, so he's allowed to keep it. Why is he allowed to keep it? So the Gemara suggests that he can turn to the owner of the house and say, who says that the coins or the items that were hidden in the wall belong to you? Maybe they're from hundreds or thousands of years ago when the Amorim hid it in the walls before you even came into Eretz Yisrael. So asks the Gemara, Atu Amorim Masnei, Yisrael Lo Masnei, what? Are the Amorim the only people who hide things in walls? The Jewish people don't do that. So the Gemara says, no, Lo Tzricha D'Shatech Tzei. The case is that the coins or the items are extremely rusted. It's obvious there's a certain patina on the coins. You can tell that it's hundreds or thousands of years old. Okay, then the Mishnah said, V'chosel Chadash Mechetzio V'Lachot Shelo. The Mishnah told us that if the coins were found in a new wall, so that if they're found from the inner part of the wall and outwards, they belong to the finder. If they're found from the middle of the wall and inwards, then they belong to the owner. Amar Ravashi, Sakina Basar Kata, Bechisa Basar Shnatzin. So comes Ravashi and explains that, let's say, for example, the item that you found in the wall was either a knife or some kind of a pouch or a purse. Then you follow either the handle in the case of the knife, or like the laces on the pouch or the purse, in that scenario. So asks the Gemara, the Elamas, Nisi de Katane, Mechetzio Velachot Shelo, Mechetzio Velifnim Shelbala Bayes, Velechze, Ikat Legab, Ikat Levar, Ishmatze Legab, Ishmatze Levar. The problem is that the Mishnah on the bottom of yesterday's Gav, when it was listing the criteria or the barometer to figure out in which case do you get to keep the item that you found on the wall, and in which case do you have to return it, the only criteria that the Mishnah presented was about how far into the wall was the item. Was it midway and inwards or midway and outwards? But the question is, according to what Ravashi just established, that you basically follow either the handle of the knife or the straps of the pouch. So that's what the Mishnah should have said. The Mishnah, should have said, depends where the handle or the laces are located. The Gemara says, you're right, Masnistin Be'udra V'nascha, the Mishnah was talking about a scenario where you found either rags or these pieces of silver, pieces of metal. So in those cases, you don't have a handle or a lace to follow. But if it's a regular knife or it's a regular pouch, laces on it, then you're going to be following the handle or the laces of the pouch. Okay, then the Gemara says, Pana, Imhaya Koso Memula Nehen Cholkin. Let's say, for example, the wall was filled with coins or whatever the item was. So the halakha is that the finder divides it equally with the baal habayis, the guy who owns the wall of the house. The Gemara says, Pshita, of course that's the case. Says the Gemara, Lo tzricha d'mashpa b'chad gisa. Mahu d'seima ishtafuche ishtafuch kamash malan. The Gemara says that the chiddush is that, let's say, for example, there's a hollow part of the wall, and the hollow part of the wall is at an incline. So I might have argued that the fact that, let's say, all the coins filled up on one side, maybe they were really part of the baal habayis, let's say, in other words, they were closer to the baal habayis, but they all slipped down the incline. So I could have argued that maybe the coins really entirely belong to the baal habayis, or vice versa, depending on which way the incline is facing. Kamash molan, I know that the baal habayis and the finder are going to equally divide the coins. Okay, then the Mishnah said, Im haya maskiro liachirim, afilu besoch habayis hare elu shela. The Mishnah told us that, let's say, for example, the house in which Reuven found all these coins, the wall of the house, wasn't, let's say Shimon owned the house, but Shimon didn't often live there. Shimon often rented the house out to people. Let's say it was like an Airbnb. So every couple of weeks, another guy was coming into the house. So the Mishnah said, in that case, the finder is allowed to keep the item because we have no idea who the actual owner of the item is. So the Mishnah says, hang on a second. V'yamai, Lazel Basar Basra. Why don't we follow the most recent guy, the most recent renter, the guy who was renting most recently? We should assume that he's the owner. What's the basis for that? Why is that a valid assumption? Milo Tanan. So in order to appreciate this question, you have to understand a Mishnah of Masechet Shkalim. Mishnah of Shkalim says the following. Let's say you find coins in Yerushalayim. So if you found the coins in front of these animal merchants, guys who were selling animals for karbanos in Yerushalayim, so the Mishnah in Shkalim says you can always assume that those coins are Meiser Sheni. And that's regardless of what time of year you find the coins, because most animals that were purchased in Yerushalayim for karbanos were purchased with Meiser Sheni money. In contrast, if you found the coins in Har HaBayis, you can assume those are regular Chulin, non-consecrated coins, because by the time the person made it up to Har HaBayis, the assumption is that he already bought his animal with his Meiser Sheni money, and any coins that he might have dropped by Har HaBayis were most likely regular Chulin coins. In contrast, the Mishnah in Shkalim continues and says that if you were to find these coins elsewhere in Yerushalayim, then it's going to depend what time of year you found the coins. If you found the coins around one of the Shalosh Regalim, then you can assume that the, in other words, that the coins are Meiser Sheni, because again, people are coming in using their Meiser Sheni coins to purchase Karbanos. In contrast, if you found the coins, you know, the rest of the year, not during the Shalosh Regalim, you can assume that they're Chulin. The Amar of Shmaya Bar Zeira, my time. What's the logic behind this distinction? Hoil Vishuke Yerushalayim Asuyin Lehiskabin B'cholayim. The Mishnah in Shkalim tells us that the marketplaces in Yerushalayim were cleaned daily, which means that whatever coin you're finding now in Yerushalayim's marketplaces was most likely dropped very recently. It was dropped, you know, probably a few hours ago. So, again, what do we see from this mission in Shkalim? Alma, Amrita, Kamai, Kamai, Bahani, Acharein, Alzadam, Kama, Kama, Alza, Bahani, the Maestro. So, the same way from the mission in Shkalim, we assume that any coin that you find is very recent. This coin wasn't from 3 months ago because they're sweeping the marketplaces every day. The coin that you just found was probably dropped very recently. So too here in our case, when you find an item in, you know, in the wall of the Airbnb that the guy's been renting out for the last 3 years, and there have been hundreds of people who have been filing through the house, why don't we just assume that the item that you found belonged to the most recent renter? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Bar Kapara Kigon Sha'asa Opundak L'Shmosha Yisrael. Comes Bar Kapara and says that the case, the scenario in our Mishnah, is where, let's say, there was a Jew who owned the house, and he turned his house into an inn, into a motel, for three Jewish people. So now the problem is, when you find the coin or the item on the wall, you really don't know who the actual owner is, because there have been three Jews who have been living here in the last certain period of time. So asks the Gemara, Shema Mina, Halacha Kerev Shimon Ben Elazar Afilu Berov Yisrael. Are we meant to infer from this answer of Bar Kapara? Again, this is like a resolution to the discussion the Gemara had 2 days ago back in the Chav Dalin, where the Gemara quoted the Shita of Shimon ben Elazar, who said that if a person finds an item in a public area, so Shimon ben Elazar said that you're allowed to keep that item. The question is, the problem is that the Gemara is unsure about whether that means a place where it's only majority non-Jewish people, then you're allowed to keep it. But if it's majority Jewish, then no, then you have to, you know, in other words, then Chayav L'Hakaz, you have to announce it. Or maybe, the Gemara says, no, maybe even in a majority Jewish area, if it's a place where hundreds of people are filing through every day, you have no way of finding the owner, even if most people who walk through here are Jewish, maybe you're allowed to keep it. So the Gemara now wants to suggest, based on this, on the statement of Bar Kapara, the fact that he's saying that you found a coin in the wall of a place that was rented out, or the three people used as an inn who were Jewish, doesn't that imply that the context of Rav Shimon ben Elazar's statement on Bach of Dalin was even referring to a majority Jewish location? If I find an item in the middle of an area that's frequented mostly by Jewish people, it sounds like I'm still allowed to keep it. So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. El Amar of Menashe Bar Yaakov, so comes Rav Menashe and changes the fact to the case. He says, no, the case was that the Jew turned his house into a hotel for three non-Jewish people. Maybe that's the only reason why you're allowed to keep the item, implying that if there were three Jewish people there, you would not be allowed to keep it. And again, that would limit the scope of the context of Rav Shimon ben Elazar's statement back on Daf of Dalit. Then the Gemara says, maybe not. Rav Nachman Amar Rava Bar Avuha, Afilu Tema L'Shlosha Yisrael, Mai Taima, Hahu Denafa Mine Miyayish, Meimar Amar Michi. In a shacharina lo haba bahadi elohane amri kamayu kamna zimili hadruli vilo hadruli vahashtoli hadru ida kayu la ahadrua ahadrua nihami vahay de lo ahadrua li bida kayu la migzula. So comes Rav Nachman and says, maybe not. In other words, you can still suggest that the case here in the Mishnah is where the Jew is turning his house into a hotel for three Jewish people. And you don't have to come on to what the Gemara said earlier, that the scope of Rav Shimon ben Elazar's statement on Dach of Dalin even refers to a majority Jewish location. It could very well be that Rav Shimon ben Elazar only says you're allowed to keep an item that you find in a public area if it's a majority non-Jewish area. So what then justifies the person keeping the item if there are three Jews living in this hotel? So the Gemara says the following, that the guy who really wants the item, one of those three Jews who's staying in the hotel, is gonna make the following argument. He's going to say that, in other words, if one of the other two guys who found the coin really truly wanted to return it to me, he would have done so already. If he was being honest about it and he found the coin, he would have already returned it to me. And the fact that he hasn't returned it to me meant that he's trying to steal. Now again, this guy doesn't realize that a fourth party, that some other guy found the coin. He just assumes that he lost his coin and one of the other two Jews staying in the hotel must have found it, and he's probably trying to steal it from him, and there's no way he's ever going to be able to get it back because neither of them are going to admit to finding the coin. And therefore, says Rav Nachman, the guy who really lost the coin obviously gave up on it already. He was miyayish, and therefore you as the finder are now allowed to keep it. So again, this has no bearing on the general scope of Rav Shimon ben Elazar's statement on Dafa Daled. It happens to be in this particular scenario. The reason why you can keep it is because there's a built-in assumption that the guy who lost the coin probably gave up hope. And in fact, the Gemara says, the Azdar of Nachman l'tameh, the Amar of Nachman, Ra'a Sela Shenafa Mishnayim Chayev L'Hasir. This is Rav Nachman's general disposition, because Rav Nachman says the following. Let's say Reuven's walking along, and he sees a coin that fell from one of two people. He can't tell who it fell from. So let's say he sees Shimon and Levi are schmoozing with each other. They're standing next to each other, and then a coin drops, and he can't tell whether the coin dropped from Shimon or from Levi. So the din is that Reuven has to return. He has to try to figure out who the owner is. The Marshal of the house said, "My taima, hahu denafal mihdi." The reason why Reuven, the finder, has to return that coin is because in a scenario where the coin only fell from one of two people, from either Shimon or Levi, so Shimon doesn't realize again that there's Reuven, this third party lurking in the background who found his coin. He just thinks it's just me and Levi. That's it. So if he loses his coin and the only person he sees in his proximity is Levi, he's going to assume that Levi took his coin and he's gonna literally shake down Levi until he gives him the coin back, which means that Shimon never gave up hope of it. So when Reuven finds it, he has to return it. In contrast, the Gemara says, "B'shlosha eno chayav lahasir." My taima, hahu dinafal mina vada niyayich. Meimar amar michti trei havu bahadai. Ina kidna lahai amar lo shkalde. Ina kidna lahai amar lo shkalde. In contrast, if there are three people involved in the story, if it's Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda who are standing around, and Reuven sees a coin falling from Shimon for argument's sake, so in that case, Shimon does give up hope of getting the coin back, because if he tries to shake down Levi, then he will say, no, it was Yehuda who found it, and vice versa. He'll never be able to legitimately figure out who actually took his coin. And therefore, in that scenario, he does give up hope. And therefore, in that case, Reuven is in fact allowed to keep the coin. Okay, another verse is Amar Rava. Hai de Amar Peshlosha Enochai Lahasir. Lo Amran Ela de Leis Be Shava Pruta Lechol Chai Bechad. Avo Is Be Shava Pruta Lechol Chai Bechad. Chai Lahasir. Mai Taima. Emer Shutfei Nenu. Lo Miyashu. So this is the first version of the Gemara. Rava comes and limits the scope of this halacha. When the Gemara just told us a second ago that Reuven sees three guys standing around, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. He sees the coin dropping from Shimon. He doesn't have to return it because Shimon just assumes that one of the two guys took it and neither of them will ever admit it because they can each deflect blame on the other. Says Rava in the first version of the Gemara, that's only true in a case where the total amount of money that was dropped on the floor is worth less than a pruta if you divide it between the three individuals. But if, let's say, the amount of money was either three or more prutos, it was worth more than one pruta per person, so that even in that case, even if there are three people, Reuven is, in fact, going to have to return it. Why is that? So Rava, in the first version of the Gemara, explains that we have to assume that Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda are all partners with one another, none of them have given up hope of reclaiming that money. That's version number one. And versus version number two. Ika da amre, amar Rava, afa gav de leis be ela shava shtei prutos chayav la'asir. In the second version, in other words, let's say there are three people again, the same story, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, and they drop only two prutos. So I would understand you don't have to return that because you don't have a total of three prutos, in other words, a total of one pruta per person. Says Rava in the second version, no, it's not true. Even in that case, Reuven has to return the money. My taima, emer shutfei nenu, v'chad minayu achule achle l'manase gavei chavre. Again, the same basic argument in the sense that we have to assume all three of them, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, are partners with one another. However, we can assume that one of the three was mochel. He relinquishes his rights, his share, to the other two. And therefore, even though you found a total of less than one pruta per person, it's very possible that the third party is still considered to be a shukav, a partner with the other two, and therefore you're going to have to return. Okay, the number says, V'amar Rav, Ra'a Sela Shenafla, Nafla Lifnei Yeyosh, Amanas Legozla, Over B'chulan, Mishom Lo Sigzal, Umishom Hashev Tishinem, Umishom Lo Suchal Lehesalem, V'afal Gav D'chazra Li'achar Yeyosh, Matana Hu D'yoyed Leh, V'isura D'avanohat, Nafla Lifnei Yeyosh, Amanas Lehachazira, Uliachar Yeyosh Neskabim Legozla, Over Mishom Hashev Tishinem, Himten La Acheres Yoshua Bailim Benakla, Eno Over Elamisha Losu Chalele Hisalim Bilbat. So Rava presents three different scenarios here. The first scenario is that Reuven sees a coin that fell, and he knows that Shimon, the owner, has not yet despaired. He dropped the coin 2 seconds ago. He has no idea that he even lost the coin yet. and he takes the coin with the intention of stealing it. He has no intention of returning this coin back to Shimon. So the Gemara says, in that scenario, Ruvain is in violation of three different Isurim. He violates the Isur of Los Sigzol, not to steal. He's in violation of the Din of Hashem Tishidim, the Mitzvah Saseh, to return lost items. And he's also in violation of the Los Saseh in the context of Hashemah Saveidah, that says, Lo Sucha Lehisalim, that you're not allowed to avert your eyes from returning lost objects. Basically, the two sides of the same coin of Hashemah Saveidah, the Mitzvah Saseh, as well as the Los Saseh. In contrast, says Rava, before the second scenario, he also says, even if at the end of the day, Ruvain ends up returning the coin back to Shimon after he already gave up hope, after he already despaired of getting the coin back, so at that point, Ruvain is basically just giving Shimon a gift because he acquired it already after Yeyush, and the Isser that he violated is still in place. There's basically no way for him to rectify that Isser once he already violated. That's scenario number one. Then scenario number two, the Gemara says, is let's say Ruvain initially took the coin with the intention of returning it, but then once Shimon gave up hope, he then decided he wanted to steal it and keep it for himself. So in that case, the Gemara says he only violates the Isser Aseh of Hashem Tishivim. He's only basically nullifying the Mitzvah Aseh of returning the item that he found. And then the third scenario that Rava presents is, let's say Shimon basically Ruvain intentionally waited until Shimon, the owner, despaired. Meaning, he knows where the coin is. He knows that Shimon doesn't know that he lost it. He's just sitting there and waiting until he hears Shimon basically utter the words the Gemara, already spoke about it, as we'll talk about later, Vayva lechetzer kiss, woe to me that I lost my money. Once he hears him utter those magic words, so then he goes and takes the coin for himself, because now he knows that Shimon finally despaired of getting the item back. So in that case, he only violates one issue, which is the lo-sa-se aspect of Hashem HaSadeidah, as we mentioned before, lo-sucha le-hisalim, the fact that he was basically intentionally not doing Hashem HaSadeidah. He was turning his eyes away, knowing that at some point Shimon would despair of getting his coin back, so he's in violation of lo-sucha le-hisalim. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Hai man dechaze denafal zuze mechavre dechavta, the ashkehe v'shakle, lo michayav la'ahadurim. The Gemara has the following case. Let's say Ruvain and Shimon are on the beach, and Shimon is walking among the sand, and Ruvain sees that Shimon drops a coin or drops some money in the sand. So the Gemara says that Ruvain is allowed to keep that money. He does not have to return the money to Shimon. My time, huh? Hahu did not come in any Yayishu. Afagav b'chazi da isay our beloved kamer Abel. Meimar amar ki hichi did not fall in any Yididi. Hachi not fall in a shacharina umashkach namidi. The Gemara has a fascinating chiddush. Even if Ruvain sees Shimon taking a sifter, he's literally going through the sand, you would think that's an indication that he wasn't Miyayish. He's looking for his lost coin. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. We can still assume that Shimon has despaired of getting his coin back. Why is he busy sifting through the sand then? Because he thinks the same way that I lost my coin in the sand, so some other guy probably lost his coin in the sand too. I'll find the other coin and I'll offset my losses. So the Gemara says that there's a built-in assumption that when someone drops their coins in the sand, they're not getting it back. And therefore, when you find the coin in the sand, even if you see the guy drop it literally sitting there with a sifter trying to find the coins, you don't have to assume that he's trying to find his own coins. You can think that he's probably trying to find someone else's coins that were dropped in order to offset his own losses. Okay, says the Mishnah. Matzah b'chanus harei elu shalo, bein hativa v'lachenvani shelchenvani. So the Mishnah now presents the following. Let's say you find an item in a store. It's clear it's not an item that the shopkeeper is selling. It's not on the shelf. It's just, some item lying around. So if you find an item just in a general part of the store, you're allowed to keep it because obviously hundreds of people file through a store on any given day. If there's no simon on the item, there's no way to know who the item belongs to. However, the Mishnah says, if the item is found between basically where the shopkeeper stands and like the counter where he stands and he rings people up, then you have to assume it's a personal item of the shopkeeper because most regular customers are not allowed in the back part of the store. Then the Mishnah says similar halacha. Lifnei shulchani harei elu shelo, bein hakisei v'lach shulchani harei elu shel shulchani. Basically, the same standards apply when it comes to a money changer. So, if let's say you walk into a money changer's store, if you just find an item in the general part of the store, again, you're allowed to keep the item. But if you find it specifically in the area between where like the money changer sits and his table, again, the assumption is that area is reserved only for the money changer. Halokeach peros mechaviro, osheshilach lo chaviro peros, umatza bahed ma'os harei elu shalal, imhayu tsarumren notel umachris. And the mission also presents two other scenarios here. Let's say, for example, you either purchased fruit from someone else, or you sent fruit to someone else as a gift, and then either you as the purchaser or you as the recipient of the gift, you find money wrapped up in the fruit basket. Let's say you bought edible arrangements and you have this whole thing of fruit, and then inside there's a bunch of money inside of the fruit basket. So the Mishnah says in a normal case, if it's just regular money scattered all around, you as the recipient or as the purchaser are allowed to keep the money. The assumption is that either the money was gifted to you or it was put there purposely. But if the money is bound up, it's tied up in a bundle, then you have to announce it. The assumption is that's considered to be a valid sitting, and the person probably just forgot the money inside of the basket. Okay, then the money says, "I'm a Rabbi Elazar." Afilu munachin al gavei shulchan. Comes Rabbi Elazar and qualifies the Mishnah. When the Mishnah told us that if you find money in a money, or if you find coins or an item, whatever it is, in a money changer's shop, so the Mishnah said, if you find it in the general part of the store, you can keep it. But if you find it between the chair and where the money changer sits, so then you have to announce it. You have to assume it belongs to the money changer. So Rabbi Elazar qualifies and says that even if the item is placed on the money changer's table, you as the finder are allowed to keep it. It's only specifically where the item is by the seating area, where the money changer's seat is located, that it belongs to the money changer. But if it's sitting on his table, then you're allowed to keep it. So the Gemara points out, tonight, lifnei shulchani harei elu shelo, ha'al gabi shulchan d'shulchanim. Implication is as follows. The Mishnah said that, in other words, if the item is found in front of the money changer, you as the finder can keep it, implying that if it's on the money changer's table, you have to give it back to the money changer. Ema seifa, behakiseva la shulchani shel shulchani, ha'al gabi shulchan shelo. On the other hand, the seifa of the Mishnah told us that if you found the item between the chair and where the money changer sits, it belongs to the money changer, implying that if it's only on the money changer's table, you're allowed to keep it for yourself. So again, the Gemara says, Ela mehal leka la Mishnah. I mean, you can't really infer anything from this Mishnah, because the Mishnah, the Reisha and Seifa of the Mishnah are giving us contradictory implications. So you really can't infer anything regarding this case of the item that's found on the money changer's table itself, whether that belongs to the finder or to the money changer. So the question, of course, is, the Rabbi Elazar Hamanali. So now that we don't have any sort of conclusive evidence from the Mishnah one way or another, so how exactly does Rabbi Elazar know that you as the finder are allowed to keep an item that's found on the money changer's table? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Masnisin Kshise, because Rabbi Elazar was bothered by something in our Mishnah. My area the Sane Bin Hakise La Shulchani, Shel Shulchani, Lisne Al Shulchan. Inami, Matza Bishulchanos, Kitik Tai Resha, Matza Bichanos Shelo. Because Rabbi Elazar was bothered by a textual variance in the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah say that if an item is found between the money changer and the chair that he sits in, that then the item belongs to the money changer? It would have been more textually accurate for the Mishnah to say something like, if you found the item on the table, or if you found the item bashulchanos, in the money changer's establishment, then it belongs to the money changer, the same way that the Reisha of the Mishnah, when it was discussing finding an item in a regular shop, uses the term matza bichanos shalom, you found the item in his shop. Why does the Mishnah specifically throw in this detail about finding it between the chair of the money changer? It doesn't mention that in the case of a regular shop. So the Gemara says, El Shmamina, Afilu Munachin Al Gavi Shulchan Harayu Shalom. In other words, the fact that the Mishnah went out of its way to throw in this detail about finding the item by the money changer's chair, says Rabbi Elazar, is an indication that when it's found on the table of the money changer, you're allowed to keep it. It's only when the item is back behind the table, when it's by the chair, that's when it belongs to the money changer. When it's just sitting on the table, in contrast to a regular shop, then you as the finder are allowed to keep it. Okay. Finally, the Mishnah said, Halokeach peros mechavero. We mentioned in the Mishnah that if you purchase fruit from someone, or if someone sends you fruit as a gift, and there's money in the fruit basket, you're allowed to keep it unless it's bundled up. So the Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish Nishir Rabbi Yanai, Lo Shanu Ela Belokeach Min Atagar, Aho Belokeach Mi Bala Vayis Chayav Lahachzir, Vechein Tane Tane Kanei Dura Nachman, Lo Shanu Ela Belokeach Min Atagar, Aho Belokeach Mi Bala Vayis Chayav Lahachzir. Comes the Gemara and qualifies the statement on the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said that I as the purchaser, or I as the gift recipient of the fruit basket, am allowed to keep the money that was found in the fruit basket, that's assuming that I purchased the fruit from a merchant. I went into a regular store, I went into edible arrangements, and I bought a whole thing of fruit. So then I'm allowed to keep the money. But let's say I went to some guy, there's some guy from his house is making a fruit platter, then I have to assume that the money actually belongs to the Baal Habayis, to the guy with the fruit platter, not just to someone from the store. So the question is, hang on a second. I'm really Rav Nachman. But in other words, let's say I bought a fruit platter from an individual, not from some store. So still, what, you think that the Baal Habayis did all the work himself? He threshed all the grain himself? He also had workers. So in other words, how do you know who the money belongs to? The guy could have hired 20 people to thresh the grain, to get the produce, to pick the fruit. There's no guarantee that the money that you found, even if you bought it from an individual, belongs to that individual. So the Gemara, so the Tanya comes back to Rav Nachman and says, Amar Lei Esamieh. So this was like a student who would specialize in memorizing brisos. He turned back to Rav Nachman and said, should I delete this brisa from the canon of authoritative brisos? So Amar Lei Lo, Tetargiyam Asnisen Kedosha Dasha Na'i De Adlo Vishukhasa Kananen. Rav Nachman responds and says, no, you don't have to delete the brisa. The brisa can still be held as authoritative. And you can simply say that we're referring to a case where he hired his Eved Kenani or his Shivcha Kenanis to do the work. Because as we know, that the halacha is that anything that your Eved Kenani or Shivcha Kenanis acquires belongs to the other anyway. So in that scenario, you know for a fact that the money is going to belong to the master. In contrast, if he had other regular workers working for him, then you don't really know where the money is coming from, and then you're not going to be required to return it to the Baal Bais.